And God is just really given us all a great life to live and to move and have our being in him. And when we start to recognize the freedom that we've got, then we can really start moving forward. And, you know, that thing God put in my heart, that we're to abound in expectation, abound in hope. God has given us all a hope in many different areas in our walk, in our life, whether it's a long-term thing over the year or monthly or daily. There's always something to hope in. And our greatest hope is that we know we're going to be gathered together. So we got a life to live, and we don't live it downtrodden. We don't live it depressed. We don't live it all emotionally upset. But we live our lives unto God with an expectation of something every day. Like when I come to the USA, God said, just expect from me. Expect something. And so this is what I've been doing every day. And even when I didn't feel too great the last 3 days, you know, I still had my eyes on God. I knew these were lying symptoms, that it has no jurisdiction in my life, and I take authority. Plus, there was people praying. And so I knew that as well. So that built up my hope and expectation. I know God will never let me down. He never leaves or forsakes us. And it's just so great just to see how everyone's come along very quickly. And God's fast tracking us. And it's, you know, we've already got the dreams. We've already got the desires. We've already got the wedding paid for. It's already done. Like, God knows how he's going to do it. And he's going to blow your cookie how he's going to do it. And he's a God of grace, God of love. He says, let me help you there. Let me do the work. So we rest. We rest in God. We give him our desires. We just continue to do what we know to do every single day with God, getting up, being grateful, being thankful, having that heart of expectation. God, I thank you for this great day. God, I thank you for this life. Even when I was feeling like that, I did get up and said, God, I thank you, I'm healed. I thank you, I'm blessed. I thank you, I got another day to live unto you. And so when we keep our minds in that right direction, whether you feel like it or not, because the feelings are, it doesn't really matter. You know, we can think what it does matter. If we make it a matter, right? But we've given everything to God, right? So he knows our hearts. He wants us to be blessed and happy. And I was talking with Sakina this morning on our one-on-one, and she read me a wonderful scripture. We all know it. But she read it from the Amplified, well, she told me where it was in the Amplified Bible. And I want to read it because it's absolutely brilliant. And it's Ephesians 2:10, and it's the Amplified Bible. And it says, for we are his workmanship, his own master work, a work of art. See, we're a work of art created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above. All right, we're born from above. Spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he has set. So we're taking the paths that God has set because we're being led by the Spirit of God now, so that we should walk in them, living the good life which he has prearranged and made ready for us. See, we've been called to a good life. And when I was thinking about that after I spoke to Sakina, we are living a good life. You know, yeah, we've been through ups and downs in our journey, but we had a lot of learning, a lot of growing, lots of paradigms to change and get rid of. But God was with us in everything that we was doing, whether it's wrong, whether it's right, whatever. God was with us, working with us, being patient with us, just like we are with children. You know, our own children or our grandchildren, we can see their folly. But we're working with them, we're teaching them, we're guiding them, we're setting a good example, we're talking good words around them, we're lifting them up, we're encouraging them, we're showing what's wrong and what's right, and to do the right thing so that they get blessed. And so God's been with us all this way, and he's given us a good life. We are living a good life, and that should be our confession as well. Our confession of faith is, I am living a good life, I'm living my best life, like Campbell was sharing earlier on. God has called us to live the best life, and now we're living it because we got the Spirit of God in us, and God is with us, God is leading us, God is guiding us, God is providing us, God has covered everything for us. You know, like if we're feeling down, what does it say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, by specific request, let your request be made known unto me. We need to ask God. We need to ask big. Ask bigger than what you're asking. Because God wants to do a lot bigger, and he'll do it seemingly abundantly above what you're asking big. You want more finances? Ask and sow your seed. That's how you get it. You want to see bigger things happen in your life? You want the laborers? Pray for the laborers. God shows us what to do. You want to see good things come into your life? Then speak the good things. What you're speaking and thinking, you're drawing to you. And it's the law of faith. You know, as you believe in your heart, it will be. And so what we say with our mouth and believe in our heart will actually come to us. So this is a big law that we have to really recognize, even though we do recognize it, we need to practice it more. Don't think because you know about faith and confession, you can stop doing it. You can, it's your free will choice. But if you want the things that are benefiting you, then we do the things that God's shown us which will benefit us and which will bring in good things into our life. Like James says, you know, our tongue is a creative force. You know, so what are we creating with our words? Is it negatives? Or I don't know where this money's coming from. I don't know if we'll recover. I don't know if this relationship will repair. The situation will scream at you those things, the negative things. But our faith doesn't see that. Faith sees God. Our eyes on God, and we see God's answers. We see God's solutions. And we just need to be humble, get rid of our own thinking on the traditional things that we learn. You know, the traditions of man make none affect the power of God. So if there's areas of your life where you're not seeing the power of God, are you believing a tradition? Are you believing a sacred cow, they call it? Yeah. You know, are you believing those old things, you know, fables, old wife tales? No, we got it, and it doesn't matter if it comes from your mum's mouth, you know. Like my mum used to say, a bit thunder and lightning, you've got to get your knife and forks and sit under the table. I'm not going by that. My God will protect me. I'm not going to be stupid and stand out in the thunderstorm, am I? I've got common sense, right? I think I have anyway. So the point is, like, God is with us. He's really with you. He's really for you. And whatever you desire will be yours, because that's what's in your heart. That's what you're going to be thinking. That's what you're going to be praying. That's what you're going to be confessing. You will have what you say. You will have what you desire. And if it's God's desires, then you'll have it quicker than you think. So it's not that we've got to take a long journey to finally reach the goal and then die. No, God wants us to enjoy life. Look at Job. Through his wrong confession, he brought lots of wrong things into his life, right? Lost his kids, he lost his homes, he lost his cattle, he got bad health, and he suffered for a period of time. But God changed his whole situation around. And God blessed him double for his trouble, right? He lived a great life. It wasn't just for 1 year or 2 years that God gave him. He had kids. He had more kids. And his other kids were already grown up, so we knew he was old, right? So God is with us. He's really for us. So sometimes when you're, you know, you might be praying for something and it just don't seem like you're getting an answer, just keep praying. Just let God go to work. Be still and know that he is God. He's working and arranging every situation. So you need to take everything to him, lay it at his feet. Father, I give this to you. Father, I give that to you. Father, this is my responsibility in the world, but actually I'm giving it to you. So now it's your responsibility. You show me what I need to do in this situation. So it's just like when people sought their healings, they were told to do different things, like Naaman, I mentioned last time. He was told to go and dip in the sea, you know, seven times, but he didn't do it. He thought he was being disrespected, right? Dip in the sea, in the dirty sea, that I'm not dipping in there. But he kept his leprosy. If you want to get rid of something, you've got to kind of listen. And that's what the whole theme of my last sharing was, that we need to listen to God. And so what are we listening for? That you are righteous. You are justified. You are sanctified. Okay, you are seated at the right-hand side of God in the heavenly places. You are healed. You are delivered. You are energized. You're not an emotional person. You're filled with the Spirit of God, with the wisdom of God flowing through your brain, flowing through your body. The Spirit of God is your holy, what's it, your wall-to-wall Holy Ghost, as Andrew Womack would say. You're filled with the power of God. And it's quick and it's powerful and it's living energy. So when you feel like in a flat place, you just say, no, I don't accept this. I am the righteousness of God. You start declaring what God says about you. And then keep practicing the things that you've been encouraged to do. You'll always be practicing them. That's why we always remind you of them, right? Because God is also energizing that. You know, if you've got something to pay for, you don't start scrimping back. Like the carnal mind will say, oh, we need to start saving this, so we can't do that no more. Or we can't give so much this month. No, give more. This is the spiritual way, the heavenly way. And I'm not just saying that. You go and read the Bible to show you, right? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Look at the spiritual principles, the physical principles in the world of sowing and reaping. And also the words you're speaking are seed. What you sow in, you're reaping. What you spoke last week, you're getting this week type of thing. So we want to keep our words heavenly orientated, where we're speaking from the right hand of God. So everything is going great. This fellowship is strong, man. Devil doesn't like this Zoom fellowship at all. He doesn't want people to come on it. He wants to put you off, make you tired just before it, make you come on when you feel like it. Man, I'm here at 7 o'clock. I know people ain't going to come on here at 20 past or half past seven, but really you should be on here at seven. Really, that's just an encouragement to you as it's available to you where you live. But if you're available to come on, get on there. This is an appointment with God. It's not an appointment with Lawrence or Kim. This is God's Zoom fellowship. So it's great. So first things first, we keep God first. And I know other people have different circumstances where they have to join late, and that's fine. Because God knows where it is grace, it's love, and it's freedom. But again, where you can get on, get on. That's what I do. If I'm available to do it, I do it. I wasn't available the last couple of days to take the one-on-ones. Didn't feel like it. I washed out. So I just took my rest with God. And I spent time with him, just sleeping, waking up, thanking God that I'm recovering quicker than anybody else will recover from it. And I have, and I'm great now. I feel really great. I can eat that steak, Bob. So it's like, we just keep the first things first. Like, God is more real than our physical. He's more real than the chair that you're sitting on and the computer I'm talking through now. He's so closer than that. And he's within us. You know, we look up, but he's actually within us. You know, look within, see that God in Christ in you, and that God is right there. Nothing will hurt you. Nothing will stop you. Only the lies. You know, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? So he has to get his narratives in through the world, through the systems of the world, get you looking at fear, get you looking at the trouble. The world is waxing worse, but we don't even look at that. For me, it's getting better. I'm living the good life because I am with God. And he's leading me, he's guiding me, and he's providing for me. But he's doing it for you too. And you are healed, by the way. Whatever's going on in your veins, in your chest, in your back, in your legs, in your reproductive system, you are healed right now. Just receive those words there. You are healed right now. Receive those words gladly, like on the day of Pentecost. And man, you'll see everything restored before the night's out. Believe the words being spoken. This is how simple it is. We just believe with a meek and humble heart. Okay, Father, be it according to thy word. Just like when Mary was spoken to by Gabriel. You know, you're going to receive, you know, have the Son of God and everything. And she said, according to your words, you know. When John the Baptist's dad didn't believe, he got muted, didn't he? Because God didn't want him speaking against the prophecy that he'd just given to John the Baptist's dad. And when it come time, he opened his mouth and everything was good. So the prophecy come to pass. I think, was it Amber or someone that said, don't tell everybody that the things that you're doing. You don't have to tell everybody everything. And only tell the important people that will pray for you, that will speak good words for you. You know, like some people get married. Some people might say, oh, well, why are they getting married? They shouldn't be getting married. Not that anyone said that, by the way. But for an example, some people could say that. You know, when me and Kim got married, they was all saying, oh, what are you marrying him for? You hadn't even got a good job, you know. I got the best job in the world. They just didn't see it back then, did they? But they knew come towards the end of their lives, you know. So God is good. He will never leave you. He will never fail you. He will never forsake you. He's with you all the way. Even when you're at your worst moment, he is with you and will deliver you. God makes a way where there seems no way. God provides the money when there seems there is no money. Because it's there. Our God is a God of abundance. And my minister has been encouraging me to really think and speak abundantly. Because this is the life God wants us to have. The good life. Like I just read in that Ephesians 2:10. You know, we are God's masterpiece. What are we, poor masterpieces? Sick masterpieces? Weak masterpieces? No, we're not. If we believe the lie of those things... Well, Lawrence, you don't understand. I don't feel well. Well, yeah, you may not feel well, but that's not the true reality. But obviously, we don't talk to people like that. We encourage them, we love them and build them up. But we got to get it in our own minds. Like when I didn't feel, I really didn't feel great, I could tell you. But my mind and my confession wasn't, oh, I'm sick. Oh, I can't stand it. No, I'm healed. I'm healed. I stopped eating for 2 days, just drunk fluids, and I done what I knew to do according to my situation. And I'm fine now. Like, God is good. And then we use wisdom. You know, like Leanne, she's got this sick bug and she wanted to come up here, be with mum. And I said, no chance. You're not coming up here and bringing your crap up. I just got rid of it. Don't want it back again. You stay at home with your husband, which she did. So that's good. And it's seems a little bit mean of that, but I love her to bits. And she didn't need to be away from the home. So it's like, you know, we can see things for where they are and what they are. And but God is really working in you. I'm so blessed to hear that people are on the move. Everyone's on the upgrade. God is upgrading you. He wants you to really start manifesting this good life. Now, I have wonderful one-on-ones with Fan today as well. And he's just sharing me with the happiness and joy that keeps abounding in his life. And that is the good life. When we're down and we're out, there may be challenges, but we can still have that joy and that happiness, that inside job that keeps us believing, keeps us confessing, keeps us looking to God, you know? And the greatest thing is that once we know these things, right? But what is the most important thing? We've got all those things going on in our lives, the things we desire, the things we believe in God for. But what is the most important thing? What's the most important thing to God? The most important thing to God is that he wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And this is God's highest desire, is that all men be saved. Not everyone is, because not everyone's going to believe, right? But he still wants as many as to be saved. So we can focus on our stuff and focus on us all the time, but we're not reaching out. And, you know, when I look back to the old way day fellowships, it was just in reach all the time. You know, nice fellowships, everyone blessed for the week, and some come with a few testimonies maybe, but not coming with anyone new. And it'd be great to see you guys bring one person on to the Soon Fellowship. Introduce them. Let people see the growth, because, like, this is what God wants. And if we keep God first, then everything that you need will be, you don't have to ask God for anything. If he is first, you don't even have to pray for it, because he'll make sure you got it. You know, when you're really happy with your child, those that have had kids, and they're doing really well, they haven't asked you for nothing, you just want to bless them. And that's what God is like with us. He's so tender. He's so loving. He's so kind. He's got our best interest at heart. He wants the very best for us. He brings us to the point of the faith where we are now. Like I said, many years ago, I'd be sat here with a paper reading, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't know what I wrote there. I'll go on to the next line. Oh yes, this is our greatest day. Because like that's, I had no confidence when we first started fellowship. I was 20 years old and we would listen to the Sunday night service tapes that come through. Me and Kim would sit at the table. We would fight over the tape and then we'd put the cassette into the recorder, didn't we, love? And then I'd be writing stuff down. She'd say, oh, pause it. I want to write that down. And then we'd play it. And I said, pause that. I want to write that down. And then we was getting our teachings ready for that evening. And we've done that for years, you know, and for years I've done it reading from paper and then writing scriptures down. And then, okay, if you go to Luke chapter 4, verse 17, I'm going to read this now, you know, or is it Luke chapter 4, verse 16, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I used to do it like that, you know, and it used to take up so much time, but I needed a beginning point. So we just begin. Wherever you are with God, begin. Whatever confident levels you are, begin, and God will build your faith. And so traveling through Europe with Sangha, I was pretty much the same, a little bit more confident, but then speaking in front of everyone that I didn't know in a different country was like, it was mega to me. It was like, oh my God, he's going to get me to speak. And every time he threw me in the well, okay, before I share, Lawrence will share. He's traveling with me, so he'll share before me. And he'd always make sure I share. And I'm so blessed that he'd done that, because he could quite selfishly say, yeah, I'm going to share, forget Lawrence. But he didn't. He helped me. He encouraged me. He was there for me. He was rooting me on all the way for many years, from 2006 and 7 when we started to travel. He was always encouraging me. Never one bad word out of that man's mouth to me. And I'm so thankful to him. Yeah, he used to tell me off on different things, you know, but in Sangha's way, which was so loving and gentle anyway. And, and I used to get, who do you think he is? Like, you know, I know this. I've taken the PFL class a million times. He's telling me that. He used to have a bit of a bad attitude, but God's got that out of me. That was a paradigm. You know, a bit of pride there, because I thought, well, I've done this and I've done that. You know, what else do you want me to do? Like, you know. But then, you know, God humbled me down. And I'm so thankful for where we are now. If we keep our place in a humble and meek state, our heart in a humble and humble and meek place, then you'll just keep zooming to the heights, you know. And if you're asked to do something, do it. You know, Sangit used to call me, could you do this? Yes, I'll do it. Just do it, you know, because you're going to get blessed. And if you can't do something, you can't do something. But if you can, then do it. Because you're not doing it unto the person that's asking. You're doing it unto God with all your heart. And this is where we want to get to, is the heart. God is interested in this beautiful heart here, you know. And he only sees the best in you. And then so we need to transfer that not only to ourselves, see the best in ourselves, but we need to see the best in others. We don't need to get jealous. We don't need to try and get into a competition. Who speaks the best? Who speaks the longest? Who speaks the shortest? We all know I speak the longest. Got too much to say. I'm only joking. Well, not really, because I do, don't I, right? But the point is, I just love it. I just love living this life for God. I love encouraging people. And my greatest reward is seeing when people are coming up. You know, when people are getting so blessed, they're seeing the abundant sharing work in their life. They know they're sown into a good field because God has given the words. And this is a heavenly field that you're in. And it's a good field, it's a prosperous field, and it will keep growing in strength. And God is getting us all to that place where the things will just explode. You watch, explode in many more laborers, many more fellowships. It's going throughout all of the UK, all of Europe, USA. There's no limits. There's many, many, many fields outside. Many fields. You can have your field here as well. You know, believe God for a believer in England. Believe God for a believer, like I believe for a USA, that God will open up the doors for me. I believe for that. I ask God for it. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. God, where is that labor? I've been praying to you. I know you want me to have it because you wouldn't get me to pray to you with a desire and a passion in my heart for it. If there's no passion in what I'm praying for, I don't bother praying now because it has to be energized by God. And we can ask God, Father, what would you have me pray for? I know we can do that speaking in tongues, but for our hearts and minds to be fruitful, we can say, God, what would you want me to pray? Is there anything specifically, or is there someone, or is there a situation I could pray for? I know I can pray for labourers, but there's something else. Is there something else you want me to pray in a situation, or about the labourers, or about the fellowship? You show me, God, and wait, and just wait on God. And carry on doing what you're doing, and God will give you something to pray. I'm telling you, you will. Start practicing it if you haven't already practiced this one yet, because it's amazing that things have just come to your mind. You think, oh, I need to pray for this. Oh, thank you, God, and I know it's from you. So, like, when he gives you something to pray for, you watch that come to pass really, really quick. So if it's your job, if it's your relationships, if it's your finances, Father, what would you have me pray about my finances? What would you have me pray about my fellowship? What would you have a pray about my husband or my wife? What is the need? You know the depths of the depthness and the deepness of someone's heart, mind and thoughts. Where is the need that I can really minister to for you, Father? Because I know I'm your point of contact in the earth. I'm the one that reconciles men and women back to you as you work in me. So give me the prayers, give me the words, give me the desire, the expectation for these things. So really, like, I'm so blessed. I know Ethel's got some great things to share. She's going to share after me. You know, God is just really moving quickly. I know Becky's starting her fellowship tomorrow, which is great. So people are beginning to start their own fellowships. And it doesn't matter if no one's coming. Just begin. Just begin. Do not despise small beginnings. And as God works it in you, do it. If he's not working in you, that's fine. But if he's working it in you, do it. We're on about outreach as well as inreach. You know, God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. God doesn't want any man to perish, right? So this should be our heart's desire. You know, the laborers, someone that's going to not only become born again, but is going to run with the truth, run with the words. The word of Jehovah runs very swift. We've got to remember the words from God are quick and powerful. They're living energy. It's cutting through matter. It's cutting through everything. Sickness, poverty, lack, division, hate, all the carnal things in this world, the word of God cuts right through. And devils know it and they run. When they know, who you are in Christ, they run. And then you start calling in blessings. Start calling in abundance. Start calling in your laborers from the north to the south to the east to the west to your airport where you live according to your desire and as God's working in you. So this is what I wanted to share. I'm really blessed again with how God is working in everyone's life. Peter Lloyd also doing his Zoom fellowship and other people are beginning to do different things. And it's just really great. God is rising the expectation. He's building your faith. You know, we're abounding in hope. We're not abounding in despair. And we're living the good life. So now start making that your declaration. I'm living the good life. I'm living the healthy life. I'm living the prosperous life. I'm abundantly blessed to be a blessing everywhere I go. And I'm free to live and move and have my being in God. These should be the words out of our mouth. We're free to live and move and have our being in God. You are free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. Your mind is sound. Your heart is perfect. You are the best. And you are the head. And you're not the tail. Just remember that. You are the head. If you think you're beneath people, you'll be beneath people all your life. But if you see yourself seated at the right-hand side of God in Christ Jesus, that's where you'll stay. And that's what will start protruding and being in your life. Welcome, Brenda. God bless you. It's good to see your smiling face. Look at that beautiful woman. And so that's Van Patterson's partner, Brenda. I'm so blessed to see her on. So God is really with all of you. You know, you just take all your cares, all your desires, all your worries, fears, doubts. You give them to him. Say, Father, this is too much of a burden for me. I'm giving it to you. This is now your problem. Jesus said his burdens are light and his yoke is easy, right? So just cast everything off. Cast off the work of darkness. Walk in the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto wholeness. And just keep moving there. Stay there. No matter how you feel. No matter what the circumstances look like. No matter what your house looks like or your car or your wife. Just stay with God. Stay blessed. Stay happy. And like I say to Becky, I said, Becky, when you wake up in the morning, I said, do this. Smile. I said, now try and think negative. She said, I can't. I said, that's because you're smiling. Your brain's thinking you're going to smile. And I said, and when you wake up, do that. And then nod your head. And I said, do it with the Jack and the kids, which she did the next morning. They all laughed at her. But yeah, smile. If you're feeling sad, do this. And do it for like 10 minutes. And you'll see you can't think negative. You'll just start to be happy. It's releasing stuff in your body, right? It's a good practice to do. But I laughed my head off when Becky told me she actually done it. I was only joking. Like, she actually woke up in the morning with the kids. He's like, and they thought she lost the plot. But anyway, God is so amazing. God is so good. I'm very blessed for another wonderful Zoom fellowship. And we still got more to come yet. And I love you guys dearly. Just stay with God. Just stay with God. Keep doing the simple things. Speaking in tongues, speaking by the Spirit, honor God with your substance, stay connected, be happy, be joyous. You want to be miserable? Be miserable. You're not going to get anything. You'll just attract miserable things to you. That's where your faith is, right? So be happy. I am happy. And everything's falling around you. I'm very happy. I'm very blessed. It works. I'm telling you, give it a go.